We're going to talk shutdown, and it's relevant and it's significant. It's important. It affects a lot of regular folks, and we're going to get to that. But I got to tell you, and I think I mentioned this yesterday about perspective and understanding where we are with the struggles we all have, but having perspective on the struggles that some people have that are insane. And so, man, one of my boys took me into Jean's house yesterday. She's on the north side. One of those row houses in kind of a neighborhood where you got a $1 million house gutted by a doctor, followed by three houses boarded up. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of cool, but not. Kind of a work in progress. No disrespect to that area of the north side. You know what I'm talking about? And Jean takes you in the front door, and this is real, man. And she has no electricity because something happened to the wiring, which means I'm thinking this house could friggin' burn down here the next hour. God bless her. She's in her 80s. Weighs about, I'd say, 90 pounds soaking wet. And then we go room to room. In the first room, the ceiling collapsed. In the kitchen, the ceiling collapsed into the sink. We go upstairs. I'm not lying. We're rolling tape on this because we're trying to help. I open the door and a chunk of the ceiling hits me. And then there's a kitchen on the second floor where the entire ceiling's collapsed into the kitchen. The friggin' place is dangerous as hell. And it probably needs $100,000 work. No, probably $150,000. And she has $3,000 to her name and makes $800 a month. We're going to help her. We're going to figure it the blank out. But my point is, as we think today about what's happening around the country and our needs and our desires and our wants, I just want you to know that there are people out there, man, they're like, all they want to do is exhale. All Jean wants to do is hope there isn't any more rain because her damn house could collapse on her head and she has $3,000 to her name. And literally asked me if I wanted it when we left, the $3,000. And that's where I'm at today. Meantime, a federal shutdown, we're going to get to that. It affects some people pretty rapidly with furloughs and people that aren't being paid. And it goes back to my point about Gene. Most people don't have one paycheck saved. That's a fact. Most people don't have $1,000 if there's an emergency in their home. That's the truth. So when you think, they'll get their money back, okay. But they might lose their car or their house if this lasts for a month or two. Conversely, right now, we're at this crazy standoff at the state level. And my wife is sitting here. Christine, what did you point out to me about several of the counties? What are they doing?
Oh, yeah. Several of the counties in Pennsylvania are now exploring trying to get a line of credit so that they can pay their bills. And at least three have or plan to already furlough workers, including here in our area in Westmoreland County.
Yeah, and now the schools are freaking out because they're not getting their money. And it's causing tremendous angst. One of my favorite people in my life, who is a great leader, joining us, Kim Ward. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good. Not great, but okay. How about you?
Well, I know for a fact it annoys the hell out of you when you hear us saying that several counties are going to have to get credit and that folks are being furloughed and people are mad and a lot of them are mad at you. And what can we do to make this work?
So, you know, I want to go back to what you said.
Yeah.
People don't have money to, you know, if something happens, they don't have a rainy day fund.
They don't.
So what happens in some of these counties is they spent their rainy day fund.
She's right.
So they don't have one. This is what we're fighting against in Harrisburg. The Democrats, the governor, want to spend down the rainy day fund. We can't do that because then you don't have money when you need it, when things come up unexpectedly. And that is what happens is that, you know, we don't save. We don't. So it's different for governments. It's different for businesses than it is for individuals. We should all have enough money to get by for a while, you know, because people are depending on us. So I think what Treasurer Garrity did was so great. she just said, I have the money, because the money continues to come into the coffers.
Yes, it does.
It's there. We're sitting on so much money. Why shouldn't it be given to the organizations and the entities that need it? Counties do important things, from CYS to behavioral health.
Let me interrupt her, because she's right here. So really, what they could do, Kim, let's be blunt, they could pay these people. This is just a game, really, right? Right?
No, I don't know that the counties can... Oh, you're talking about the state?
Yes.
So the state, because of the laws, say that we have to pass a budget before they can appropriate, meaning they're going to cut the money loose. But with Treasurer Garrity, that's not necessary, because she has the ability to lend straight from the Treasury. I'm all in, and when I talked to her about it last week, I thought, you know, these counties are... She has to charge interest. It's some federal law. So she's charging below market rate. But why can't we in the state give that interest, forgive that interest, because this is money the county should have anyway.
I agree.
They should have it.
I agree.
Why should they pay interest on something that's theirs? To begin with, it just got held up here because of the ongoing disagreements on the budget. And, you know, Marty, it's hard. It's hard on everyone. At the end of the day, what we're fighting for is not to let the rainy day fund go. If we do, you know, we could pass the budget June 30th. If we said, okay, Governor, we're going to spend $4.8 billion more than what we were projected to bring in, and we'll just raise taxes to cover it, which will be a huge tax increase. That we could easily settle with that in mind. But what we're fighting for is to stop that from happening, to spend in a responsible manner, spend what we have, and not put the entire Commonwealth in a bad position, either by forcing a tax increase on all of the folks out there, the ones you talked about that don't have enough money.
Exactly.
If something comes up, and to not delete our rainy day fund. If we do what the governor wants, we have a empty rainy day fund in 2 years. Empty. No, nothing there. How do we pay? What? We have nothing there. This all of this spending, every penny of it, ends up in a tax increase for the folks who are working hard every day to pay their bills.
And Kim,
that's what we're fighting for.
So we're seeing this impasse, and it's been months now. And, you know, both sides just can't seem to come to some sort of agreement, which kind of sounds a lot like the federal government today.
It does. Yeah. It's so true.
What is it going to take? Because, I mean, I studied government in high school, and I majored in college. And I remember back then, years, decades ago, people would compromise. You know, okay, you give up something, I give up something, we meet in the middle. What is it going to take to come to some sort of agreement? Because it just seems like both sides are now digging in so deep and nothing's getting done.
So I want to go back to, the Senate sent a budget, it would have been temporary, over to the House in August. So they could have amended that and sent it back, but they didn't. They deep sixed it. You know, we need to be able to go back and forth. But I think it's not helpful that this is all being done not out in the public. I wish they would amend the bill. They have different rules in the Senate. So somehow they pulled it out of the grave. They gave it a first consideration last week or a couple weeks ago. If they would amend that and send it over, we could have something to start with. You know, we just started off so total opposite. And we have to compromise.
You have.
We have to compromise. It's not going to be something I like. It's not going to be something they like. But we need to get it done.
Hey, Kim, can you hang? Can you hang?
Yeah,
we need to talk to her about some other important issues involving breast cancer awareness that are really important. We'll be right back. It's very important stuff, as well as the budget. She's the most powerful woman in the state, and one of my... favorite people. We've been friends for more than 20 years, and I love her because she gives a damn. I mean, we have done some pretty cool stuff making a difference. And so this frustrates the hell out of you for this budget to be sitting like this, Kim, and you know now people start hurting as counties now have to get credit lines and have to freak out about layoffs. When's the last meaningful conversation you had about fixing this budget? Meaningful, Kim.
So, no. We do talk frequently.
Yeah.
Senator Pittman will go talk to the governor or to the House Majority Leader, if he's the Senate Majority Leader. And then he comes back. We discuss what was said. And it's been frustrating because for the past month or so, it's nothing. You know, we're like, why are we going to these meetings? Because we're not getting anywhere. And I think part of the issue is, as we were talking about compromise, we have to compromise. The House leadership, we're out from the other side of the state, they don't want to have to get Republican votes in the House. They want this with their own 102 votes. So if they send the Senate, of course, controlled by Republicans, from out on this side of the state, which are two different, ways of thinking, if they send us a bill that they got 102 Democrats and no Republicans, we're not going to have any Republicans in the Senate. You have to compromise. Like, they have to do it. We're ready to. We have come up higher than we'd like with the spend number. You know, there are some things that are out of our control. The Shapiro administration has taken Governor Wolf, every Medicaid offer they had from the Biden presidency for Medicaid. So
Pittman gets abused on social media. I mean, hateful. I mean, Kim, hateful stuff.
He gets death threats.
Oh my gosh, it's
I
called her. I'm like, what the hell is going on with it? What are they doing? Why do they hate him? Death threats.
I don't know. When I was a majority leader, had budgets that were late, but I never got death threats. He gets death threats.
He really does. I called her one day and said, what the hell is this? These people, out of Philly, too. They want him dead.
That's where they're from.
Yeah.
That's where it's from.
Yeah.
It's from Philly.
In our culture now. Just kill the guy. This is where we're at, Kim.
They threatened his whole family.
It's ridiculous.
Somebody put something out on social media and said, kill him.
Seriously.
And his family.
Assault.
And, I said to him, you need security.
He does.
And I don't mean, you need somebody sitting in your driveway 24/7.
Legit. Yeah. We learned this
true
lesson
security.
With Charlie Kirk. Let's be honest. Come on.
It's because he is in the room with the governor and Bradford.
It's because people are hateful.
Well, because they know.
It's because people are hateful.
Name, you know?
Yes.
They're very hateful. And you don't know what's real and what's
That's
not
right,
real.
Kim.
And you can't
That's
take
right.
any of it
That's
for
right.
granted.
No, you can't.
You cannot.
Let's
you
talk,
know?
About
so,
something.
Let's talk about something.
Let's talk
about something.
Jump in here, please. But I had to bring that up. Go ahead.
I mean, okay. We're transitioning because
yes,
that's
course.
Such an important topic, but this is also really important. And today is October 1st, the start of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And Kim, we are so grateful that you are here to talk about breast cancer as a survivor, having undergone a double mastectomy, chemo, so much that you went through, and you live to tell, and you're living to help other people. So tell us about this state bill and what it's going to do as you push to make this law.
So Senate Bill 88 is going to add to what we did a couple of years ago when we said we were the first in the country that insurance had to pay for an ultrasound or an MRI. And other states have followed suit. In this bill that I have a prime sponsor with, Senator Ferry, whose wife had breast cancer shortly after me, this bill will make sure that even past the initial screenings that you can be covered beyond just your, yearly screening, that you can, if something's wrong, they have to keep testing, that you're going to be covered. It's an important bill. It's an important bill for women. You hate to see anybody cancer with any kind of cancer. We all know how cancer spreads, to have to choose to wait because of the payment. So we're very proud of this bill and very, very happy to be in positions that we can help other women, moms, grandmas, aunts, cousins, friends, sisters. This is important. 1 in 8 women every year get diagnosed. 14,000 a year.
Well, and Kim, I think a lot of people don't realize, because you talk about ultrasound and MRI, people always think mammogram, and that is the first line of you know, preventive care and screening. But a lot of people who have dense breasts are now regularly needing the MRIs and the sonograms. And I've recently had both of those, actually several times, even the mammograms. So I've been learning about how this is really an advanced way, if you have dense breasts, to get this kind of better screening so that they can detect it early. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. And I'm talking about with this bill, if there is a problem, right now the law says that we will pay for you to go, the insurance will pay for you to go and have your initial ultrasound or MRI. This bill, Senate Bill 88, makes it go beyond that. So, and I'm one of those people that had dense breasts, and I had my mammograms every year. And I mean, of course, they caught mine early, but it was aggressive. And they said it was probably in there for a little while. So the 3D missed it. When I had the last. Of course, it missed it. And I just have to back up to a story, if it's okay, Marty. So, you know, I get diagnosed. I'm the first female majority leader. I don't want anybody to know because I'm going to do my job.
Right.
And I go to my first chemo treatment, and Marty called me, and I forgot to hang up talking about something, or I didn't answer it. And he heard the whole thing, and he never told anybody. Aww. So he's always been my friend, and I've always trusted him since then. He was the only one that knew that I'm sitting in a chemo room.
I did. I love you.
Yeah.
Well, he shared that with me, too, and
we
were so grateful you're doing well.
Do some work. Right. Get the damn budget settled, Kim. Quit sitting around.
We're trying. Well, I got promise we're trying.
Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you.
Thank you.
Gotta go.
Bye-bye.
Downtown Pittsburgh is iffy, sketchy, grimy. Let me go further. Second Avenue sucks. And by the way, people, women, have to walk through that landmine of felons, stoners, drunks, mentally ill patients every day. Ask the county employee whose car was carjacked by one of those homeless folks with their dog crates. I challenge one damn city leader to walk that walk with me live. They're all afraid. They're all afraid. The most recent, and I've asked her at least a dozen times, Barb Warwick. I feel like my job is to get the solution, not just call out the problem. Really? Because we've been calling out the friggin' problem for 3 years. And they haven't done jack. I get so tired of the rhetoric, we're working on it. And it's downright friggin' dangerous downtown. How do I know this? My wife's about to tell a story, but one of my boys, one of my favorite people, Kevin Ackland, who lives this town, who loves this town, who makes this town part of his DNA, joins us. Ack, how are you today, man?
Good morning, Marty. Good to see the Pittsburgh Power Couple.
You got that right, brother.
Thanks.
I love it.
The Ack is the managing partner of the Pittsburgh office of Stevens and Lee. All right, man. Kevin can't help himself. He has to tell the truth. Tell me what happened downtown.
So, Marty, you know, obviously, I think we've been focused on this issue for a while. And when I joined Stevens and Lee, it was important to us to be here downtown, you know, with folks trying to lead the comeback. And I was coming on Monday from a meeting from the Steel Building. I was actually on the phone with my wife. And as I was walking down crossing Smithfield Street, I saw a young girl in her 20s standing there with her dog. Her earbuds were in, and another woman who looked to be unhoused or homeless approached her and just started beating her up.
What?
Punching her just innocently on the corner. And, you know, broad daylight, 2:30 in the afternoon. You know, I didn't even think. I ran over and screamed at her and pushed her away. And, you know, just you hear the stories of this is just an innocent person who was walking with her dog. She, you know, took a couple shots to the face, and the person ran off, and, you know, folks were there at the bus stop. And, you know, I say this because I know that we've made a lot of progress, you know, as a city with our downtown. This is our living room. I know we're putting a lot into cleaning up downtown for the draft, but which is important with the Steelers and the NFL are bringing here. But this is our home.
Wow.
And there needs to be a certain level of intolerance for what is basically a young woman and who's somebody's daughter, or, you know, who may be going to school in Pittsburgh. You know, we have the competitive advantage of being a safe town. It's relatively a great place to live. But we have a problem, and this isn't politics. I'm not blaming anybody.
No.
I think if you want to solve a problem, first you got to recognize that you have a problem.
Hell yeah.
And that's front and center. And I think, you know, we're at a critical time where, you know, there are a lot of great things happening in our city and our region with AI, with energy, with our universities. You know, we've made a lot of progress in downtown with Jeremy and the folks who are doing the downtown partnership. But at 2 o'clock on a Monday afternoon,
Jesus,
on Smithfield Street, which is the center of commerce in the city, for a young girl just to get, you know, swung at walking her dog is something that we need to address. And I'll tell you, one of the saddest things about it, as I was walking away, another homeless man came up to me and he told me that he knew the woman who attacked and said she used to be a good person and she's gotten into drugs. And
wow.
So this is a human problem. You know, I'm just here in PPG, the Red Door at St. Mary's next door serves great people. I volunteered there, you know, Father Chris from Central, you know, ran that program. So this isn't political. We have a problem and I think we need to step up as business.
And Kevin, this is ongoing, brother. This isn't newer news. My man, this is daily.
Yeah, this has been going on for years now. The pandemic, we're now 5 years in since it started.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also just not a city problem.
No.
You know, downtown is a regional asset.
It is, sir.
You know, for those who live in the suburbs and come here every day, we're trying to get people back into our offices. And, you know, I think the police presence has been good. There's a lot of presence over and the like, but we got to do better. And so again, on the phone with Katie, I was walking down. I just didn't even think. I ran over and screamed for her to back off. And thank God she didn't have a weapon, or she would have been another statistic. And
tell them about your walk downtown.
Yeah, I mean, mine wasn't as crazy, but just something as simple as trying to go to lunch from Gateway Center to Nikki's Thai Kitchen, which is probably a 4 or 5 block walk down Liberty. And in just that 10-minute walk each direction, I experienced seeing a young girl being arrested, which, you know, is kind of disturbing. You have a whole big police presence with cars and you're wondering what's going on. Then I have to kind of make a big roundabout way to get around a big group of young people who are kind of roughhousing, which is a little bit unnerving as, you know, a woman trying to figure out where do I go to get around this. And then as I come back, I see a man urinating. I mean, I can see the whole thing right in front. I mean, just
had
right in the middle of the public.
Urinating in the middle of friggin' street in the middle of friggin' afternoon.
And this is just, you know, going to lunch and back. Like, in one day, it's just so sad. It makes me think, why do I even want to leave the office? And like you said, you're trying to get people to come back into the office. Why are they going to want to do that when it's either not safe or not a pleasant experience?
But Kevin, come on, man, you're like me, man. Same DNA, we could have been raised in the same damn house. This really hacks me off. And I know it hacks you off because I know this could be fixed. Don't you, sir?
100%. And, you know, you hear excuses about that every city is going through
Come on, man.
Well, this is our city. And,
right,
you know, Pittsburghers do things differently.
Right.
You know, our downtown is relatively a small area.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at 10 or 12 blocks. You know, if anything, it's a call to action for people to stop pointing fingers and blaming other politicians, and really step up. And you know, yesterday as I was leaving work, I was walking up back to my car and I saw Corey O'Connor downtown. And, you know, he was walking around talking to people. And, you know, I'm close with Mayor Ganey. I think this is not a political problem any mayor is responsible for. But regardless of why we're here, we are here. And I think we need to band together and step up. And you know, I learned a long time ago, there's no they. You know, you drive by a littered area and you say, hey, they should do something about that. There is no they. There's just people like us who care about a place, who benefited from being from this town. And we need to step up and get on the field and try to rescue the opportunity we have here. And I feel like for our kids and the future of this region, it really starts with our central business district. So you know, we're going to lean into this and with this new administration and hopefully make a difference.
And you're in the private sector. Let me ask you, what role do you think the private sector can do to help? Because, I mean, you know, for whatever reason, we haven't seen the change, at least coming from the public sector. Is there something the private sector can do, whether it's, I know at Highmark, they've got a lot of security outside their building. I feel like that kind of thing, more of that might help.
Well, I think you nailed it, Christine. The private sector has the most to lose here, especially employers. I mean, God forbid one of our employees here at the firm or, you know, gets hurt. You know, we have clients that are coming into town who have a good view of Pittsburgh, and it's one bad experience that takes decades to overcome. And so, you know, the Allegheny Conference, the Downtown Partnership have done good work, but, you know, it hasn't been enough. And I feel like this is a solvable problem. And, you know, there was a garbage Olympics recently to clean up downtown that I know a lot of folks from the corporate community who's been involved in. But when you look at the history of the city, when we had, you know, when the steel industry collapsed, it was really the private industry, the Jim Rohrs at PNC stepping up and banding together, the Elsie Hillmans, who really brought me into politics back in the day, who stepped up and tried to make a difference. So, you know, we have a strong foundation community here. I think we have all the resources to be different and to really bring us back to where we were before the pandemic. And, you know, to see that happen like you firsthand is very jarring.
Oh, it's horrible.
But it shouldn't scare us away. It should make us lean into this problem. Because,
Kevin Ackland, my
it's
man.
Really up to us.
We're on it, man. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate you, brother. I'll be reaching out. You know that.
Absolutely. Thanks,
Thank
guys.
You.
Appreciate all
you.
You know, we need leaders. Anybody know one? Ackland's a leader. He would kick ass. This would last for about a month if he was in charge. About a month. Fitz, about 3 weeks. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. It aggravates the hell out of me. I challenge any city leader because they're all afraid to do this. Barb Warwick's afraid. Corey won't do it until he's mayor, which I find ridiculous. Kevin Krause, who's the sheriff and who wants to help downtown, is afraid to do it because he doesn't want to do it till Corey's the mayor. So we're all just sitting on our you-know-what until someone else gets their ass kicked downtown. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to take walks. I'm thinking at least twice a week. We're going to pick different streets. We're going to do it live. We're going to show you this cesspool that they say is wonderful. It annoys the hell out of me. And Christine, you said something. I'll tell you what they did in Fort Worth, Texas, where I worked, as you know, and so did she. The billionaire Bass family, they said to hell with this crap. It was the same way. They wrote a check and hired their own friggin' cops, former FBI guys. That's what I would do. That's what the private sector, screw the police department. Screw the mayor's office. Screw the sheriff's department. We'll pay for it. Put 1,000 cops down there.
Yeah.
Do what Trump did in D.C. Make it, put 100 cops everywhere.
I mean, that's what it's going to take.
It is, honey.
And like I said, Highmark, when I walk past that building, I feel much better. There's multiple cars. There's always an officer outside there. So they are going to steer away from that area.
Do you hear what he just said? Someone who's high as a kite. He said she was zombied out, which Patrick and I have seen. This crazy drug stuff. Just started beating on a young girl with a damn dog.
Out of the blue. Totally random.
Could have killed her.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have killed Kevin, who came in to intervene and help save the girl.
And I challenge one friggin' so-called leader to walk with me downtown. One, just one.
But I hope that the private sector, whether it's getting together or doing it individually, would be able to step up and do more, even just like Kevin said, in their own self-interest to protect their employees. And that's going to make downtown better and safer if we can go that route, too.
And you were asking Patrick about that area. Well, we're down there all the time. And we're going to start doing, I guarantee you, two a week. We're going to walk on these obnoxious, grimy streets downtown and show you this crap live. Strawberry Way doesn't have the shelter anymore. Fine. But Patrick, if I'm lying, I'm dying, because my man is with me. Every time we're there, we see drug deals. Every time.
Yeah.
Every
There's
time.
Not a time I've been down there recently that I can say I haven't seen either drug deals or drug use.
Every time we're there, there's people high in that alley. Every time. It's obnoxious, man.
When it's coming even as far as Gateway Center, which is the very edge down by the cultural district and down by the point, which used to be really safe. Like, you never saw anything. No one walked in. It's kind of like a park feeling. And now even walking outside that door, I don't feel safe a lot of times.
Terry, go ahead.
Oh, hey, Marty. So my son works down at PPG, down that area. And it just kind of, it was a funny story that registered with me. He went shopping this week and was looking for new shoes because he needed new shoes. And basically he said, I don't want dressy shoes because there is so much urine and feces all over the street.
He said,
I need shoes where I can kind of wipe them clean. He said, it's so disgusting. And then he was in his office one day. Over lunch, they were watching something on TV. They watched a man urinate right on the side of the street. And he said, five minutes later, there were people walking through it. They had no idea what they were walking through.
Is this as good as it gets, Terry? Mm. Is this what the hell we're supposed to expect?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, to hear him say, like, I have to be careful the kind of shoes I buy because there's so much garbage on the street.
And here's what they'll do. They'll bring in 10,000 cops for the NFL draft. I don't care about the draft.
Well, yeah, that's what I feel like is going to happen. They're going to do this quick fix a month before, and then it's going to go right back.
I challenge any public official, any leader, alleged so-called leader out there, to walk downtown with me live. I'm going to ask every single day. Just call me, text me. You know how to get me. I challenge just one so-called leader who has the you-know-whats to walk downtown. We're going to show you this. This crap about downtown's better is crap. That kid is spot on. Can you imagine? Man, I better not buy good shoes because they'll have crap all over them. Oh, you're walking through a dog park. No, it's downtown Pittsburgh. Oh, okay.